fables and fairy tales. Mary had a little lamb. That's what I learned as a little kid. I don't know how we even learn it. I don't think my parents ever told it to me. I just knew it. You know, kids just know things like that. They get it. They get Christmas. They really do. They understand things sometimes that we miss when we grow up because we've become so intelligent. It's true. Just ask anybody. They'll tell you. Fables and fairy tales. I grew up with a story about Christmas. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good. That's right, because Santa Claus is coming to town. That's what I grew up with as a kid. It was a fairy tale to certain degrees. At least that's what I was told. Until I actually found out there was a St. Nicholas and finding out his story. So it was interesting trying to separate fact from fiction. In fact, I got a phone call from one of my children's teachers last year at Christmas time that she was making all the children cry because she told all the kids, as I was told, that there was no such thing as Santa Claus. And she should not be telling kids that. And I said, that's not what my daughter said. Excuse me, Mr. Olson? Yes, my daughter didn't say there's no such thing as Santa Claus, so that's not true. You need to at least get your story right. She goes, well, how do you know you weren't here? I said, because my daughter believes in Santa Claus, but that Santa Claus is dead is probably what she told the kids. That didn't go over well. To which I was told, keep my beliefs at home with my family. Then I got a phone call at Easter. Well, you'd like to think it was Easter Bunny, but it actually was the Tooth Fairy. My daughter had lost her tooth. And the kids wanted to know if the Tooth Fairy had come to visit. And my daughter said, there's no such thing as the Tooth Fairy, to which I received a phone call because the kids were crying. I can't make this stuff up, folks. And I'm talking, yeah, if you know my daughter, you know I can't make this stuff up. To which I received this call and I said, well, there is no such thing. Well, you know, we've talked about this. We'd like to have you keep your religion and your beliefs to yourself at home. I said, I thought you were supposed to teach kids things about the truth. So you want me instead to let my daughter tell the kids that there's this thing with wings that sneaks into the room late at night and takes their teeth. And we call it a fairy. So that's what you want me to not tell my daughter is not true. And that didn't go well. Fairy tales. We grew up with fairy tales, and sometimes we get old enough, it's hard to separate the fairy tales from the facts. And this morning, Mary had a little lamb. I did some research to find out who wrote this, and it's attributed to a young lady named Mary in 1853 in Massachusetts, because she actually took a lamb to school. And she got into trouble, and so she wrote this poem. Well, it actually goes a lot further back even into England, because there were several Marys. And I'm sure if your name is Mary and you have sheep, that maybe as a little girl, I would imagine if we named our daughter Mary and we lived on a farm and we had sheep, maybe one day she would have probably taken a lamb to school. And I would have gotten a phone call on that, too. Fairy tales. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And I want to talk to you about separating fairy tales from facts, because today we talk about the idea that a virgin teenage girl was conceiving the Savior, the Son of God. And how do you separate that from one day when you tell your kids, well, Santa Claus, I mean, he is and he isn't. And then one day they go, well, what about Jesus? Is he or isn't he? And so we have to be careful. I had a gentleman that came into my office a few weeks ago and he wanted to talk. He'd been in the Korean War and he'd been wounded. In fact, he was killed for a moment. At least he talked to me about an experience. And all these years, it's haunted him about going to heaven. And he came to talk to me and he sat in my office. He says, Pastor, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell. I believe in God and I believe in the devil. And I want to talk to you. And so we had a conversation. And here's pretty much how it went. I don't believe in Jesus. And I don't believe in all that other stuff. And don't pull the Bible out or I'll leave. And I said, well, you came to my office asking questions, so I'm going to tell you what I think in a minute. He said, well, I hope it doesn't offend you, but here's what I believe. And here's what he said. He says, I believe there's a God, and I believe there's a devil. I believe there's a heaven and a hell, and I'm going to heaven because I'm a very good person, because I do a lot of good things. Then why was he in my office if he knew he was going to heaven? And I said, okay. He says, this Jesus thing, I don't buy it. And he says, without offending you, here's what I believe. I believe that Joseph and Mary got drunk one night and she got pregnant, whether it was his or not. And then they had this baby and they decided to name him Jesus and fill his head full of all these things that he was a savior. I said, that's what you believe. He said, yes. I reached back and I grabbed my Bible. I said, well, here's what I believe. And I began to explain to him what I believed. And he looked at me and says, well, I can't believe that. A book written by a bunch of men. I said, have you ever read the book written by a bunch of men? He says, well, no. I said, well, then how can you not believe what you have never read? Well, I don't know. I said, okay. And so we had a very interesting conversation. But he believes in God. He believes in the devil. He believes in heaven and hell. But he doesn't know who and what and why you go to either one. And this whole Jesus thing is a farce. And Mary had a little lamb. And that's what I want to talk to you today, separating fables and fairy tales from the facts. And what a great day to be together. And so the first thing I want us to understand is that Mary had a little lamb. It was the perfect gift. You ever shop for the perfect gift? I have here the perfect gift for Christmas. I was up almost all night last night trying to make sure I had the perfect gift to make sure that. And I believe that this is the perfect gift. At 2 in the morning, I felt very confident that this was the perfect gift. And so I have it here in this box, the perfect gift. You've been out shopping, haven't you? And you've been looking for the perfect gift. And you settle for the shorter line instead. Or, oh boy, I'm not going there. I couldn't even get a parking spot yesterday at the mall. It was amazing. So I just go to the Dollar General right up the street from my house. That wasn't so bad. Now my kids are going, which one of us are getting that? All of them. So there will be no issues. The perfect gift. This is the perfect gift. Mary had a little lamb. What a perfect gift from heaven. Could you think of anything finer at Christmas time than Christ? For some of you, that just went right on by. That on Christmas, God would give us the baby Jesus. What a perfect gift. In fact, the Bible says that it was the Virgin Mary had a little lamb. There are some people who think that that's a fiction, that Mary didn't have this baby because virgins don't have babies. In fact, if you've been watching the news, it was the Archbishop of Canterbury, one of the highest authorities in the Church of England. The Archbishop of Canterbury just last week stated that he does not believe in the nativity story, and it's not important. He said, stars can't sit like that. Novas can't stop in the sky. And so he said, the star over Bethlehem can't be true because stars don't do this scientifically. Right, it's called a miracle. But he couldn't explain it, and he said, and the idea that a virgin had a baby is not important to you as a Christian or not. That isn't a prerequisite, and it's not even an issue whether you believe that or not. And I want to tell you today, it is an issue whether you believe it or not. You see, just because this gentleman couldn't explain the idea of a star sitting over a manger for about a year or 2 years or however long it followed the Holy Family, even into their house, till the Magi showed up, which we'll talk about next week, because some of you think that they were in the manger. They were not in the manger. They showed up almost 2 years later because they found Jesus, the child, not the baby, the infant, different Greek word, in his house, not in a manger. So come next week because you're going to figure out what half-off Christmas cards are all about. What do you do when Christmas is over? You still look for the Christ child. And that's what the Magi did. And so that's, to me, not the issue. But the issue is this, that just because you can't explain a star stopping in the sky, by the way, scientifically, we've gone back and we've actually, the scientists did a lot of study, and I'm not going to go into it. It possibly happened, even scientifically. But even if he can't explain it, that's fine with me. I don't have to explain my faith. I don't have to explain, and science still can't explain why a bumblebee can fly. It doesn't mean a bumblebee, well, that bumblebee can't fly. I don't care if it's flying around me right now. It's scientifically impossible for a bumblebee to fly. And science knows this. And they don't explain it. They just say, it flies. Why? We don't know. It's impossible. Right. It's impossible. And it's one thing that God left for us, along with gravity and oxygen and other things that people can't explain everything about, that you can't see, can't touch, can't feel, but it affects you every day of your life. And so just because the archbishop cannot understand it does not make it a fable. Jesus was born to a virgin. And how important is that to your faith? It's critically important. The Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. That's good enough. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And later on it says in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child. This is critical to your faith. Now, if I stood up here and said, young men, young ladies here, teenagers, listen, it doesn't matter what your parents believe. This isn't important to your Christianity. This is very important to your Christianity. This is all about your faith. Because if the virgin didn't have a baby, then you don't have a Savior that saves you from your sin. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And who cares? Why are you here in church? Because if the virgin didn't have a baby, then the baby would have been born just like you and I in original sin. You see, it was important that sin was separated from the Christ child so that we would have a lamb that was worthy to be sacrificed. And so when Mary had a little lamb, she had a baby that wasn't tainted from the father. And by the way, the Bible says, gentlemen, that the sin of the father is passed to the second and third generation from the time of Adam. And I can tell you it's in Romans chapter 5. In chapter 5, it says, therefore, since sin entered through the one man, Adam, because Adam sinned, he passes on original sin, the origin in within us that every child knows. We don't teach them to lie. But you know how kids are. Who broke that? I don't know. You're the only one home. The dog. You don't have to teach a child. Original sin will bend them to do the wrong thing easier. And if you haven't lived long enough, you know how easy it is to do wrong rather than right. It's easier to take shortcuts than it is to go through the integrity right way. It's a whole lot easier within our spirit to be given into the flesh and the temptation than it is to do righteousness. That's why we call it discipline in our faith. And so Mary had a little lamb, had this Christ child. And she was a virgin because through Joseph, if Joseph would have been the father, original sin would have been passed on. And the Bible goes on to say in Romans 5 that this child, since the one man Adam brought sin into the world, therefore the one man Christ redeemed the world. For what was impossible with Adam was now possible with Jesus Christ, because Joseph was not his biological father. It says right here, what was conceived in you was by the Holy Spirit. You see, Scott, you can't save me from my sins. You can't be an honorable sacrifice. And that takes us to the second part of the story. Mary had a little lamb. What a perfect gift. What an absolutely perfect gift. We don't have a perfect gift to give God. We have a tainted gift. That's why it says, whose fleece was white as snow. That's an interesting concept. What that means is that's an Old Testament reference, whose fleece was white as snow. In the Old Testament, when you brought a lamb, and I raised sheep for 2 years with my dad, and what a mess shearing sheep. What that meant was in that wool, it had to be spotless. There couldn't be a black spot, a brown spot, a dark spot. That wool had to be just as white as possible. It was a lamb without blemish, whose fleece was white as snow. And they would take that thing and sacrifice, saying, now that's a perfect sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ came, he had to be the perfect sacrifice without blemish. Scott, the reason that you can't save me for my sin is because you have a blemish yourself. I have a stain within my heart. I can't save you. I can't save you, Ron. None of us can save each other. We can help each other, but I have a stain in my heart. My heart is stained red with the crimsonness of my sin. I was born with it, and the first time I actually sinned, it became a part of my life. And I couldn't die for my own sins. I couldn't die for your sins. I was not a fleece that was perfect. And so we need a sacrifice, and that's why it's important. And the Bible says that's why Jesus Christ became that sin sacrifice. He could become that person for us. Look at what it says. Look at what it says in verse 20. Verse 21. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. You see, the perfect gift is this. The first thing, the perfect gift is this, is that God became the perfect gift, the perfect sacrifice. Do you know that God took on the image of man so that you could take on the image of God? God took on the image of man so that you one day could take on the image of God. What a great trade. I don't know about you, but when you're out shopping for the perfect gift, I like it because that says even after you charge it, you don't get a bill in the end. It's free. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you that are running up those cards, those of you that can't wait. I mean, I know you're sacrificing, you're doing things, and you're thinking down the line in a month or so when it hits you. And you're going to say to yourself, it was good, but why did I do that? And families get stressed over this stuff because we live in a society that's about gimmicks. It'd be great if everything were free. It says he will save the people from their sins. That's a free thing. It's a free gift to you and I. This is free. This isn't going to cost me anything. I found this perfect gift. I found this perfect gift, and it doesn't cost me a penny. You know what's nice? I can re-gift it. And I'm going to re-gift this gift. Seriously, it's perfect. You'll see in a second. I'll open it in a second here. It is a perfect, and it's free. Nothing in life is free. Everything's got gimmicks. 0% for 2 years, and we'll pay the taxes. Yeah, wait till 2 years is up, and you're paying 19% accrued interest. You know, that's why all the mortgage things are a problem right now. Because they said, hey, no problem. We'll get you in at this house. Oh, don't worry about that balloon thing. That'll be later on. Kaboom. Man, it just, we get caught. We get caught in the sin. We get caught in these things. And the Bible says that if we can just let those things go, free, no charge. These gimmick things have caught us over and over. I got caught with a gimmick the other night. Somebody had emailed me, Carolyn, you had emailed me that Blockbuster video coupon. I went to Blockbuster with my wife, said, we're going to have a family night. So we went the other night. And I went in there, we grabbed a couple movies, it had a free popcorn, a couple of free pops, and we got up there, I'm so excited, we're standing in this long line. I finally get there, and the guy looks at me and goes, that's fake. I said, what? No. It's got barcodes and everything. This is no. It's legit. He said, yes, it was once. It got emailed. One person had gotten that, and then they emailed it, and it hit the internet. And you emailed it to me. And so I'm standing there with all this stuff going, it's not free. And I got to say this. I made copies here at the office and handed those out. So for all of those that I gave you Blockbuster coupons for Christmas, it's her fault. I was so excited. People were coming in and they go, what do you got? I said, hey, I'll make you a copy too. I'm making copies. I get the Blockbuster. So don't go to Blockbusters with those coupons. It's no good. They said it was good once, but it's the same code. It was used a long time ago. That's one of those things. And could you imagine the millions that I'm sure... Because I was forwarding it all over the place thinking, this is a great deal. So I'm standing there with all this stuff in line. He goes, do you want it? I said, no. How much is it? Those 20-ounce pops? And he said, those are a dollar. I said, no, I don't want those. And so then we had a smaller family night. Because life comes with things that hit you after the fact. There, you got to read the fine print. And he will save the people from their sin. Because Mary had a little lamb and his fleece, let me tell you, was white as snow. No catches, no blemishes, no later charges, no balloon interest, nobody coming in to take it away. You get this gift and guess what? You get to keep it. I lived in Croswell for 4 years. My wife and I were up there recently. My son had a sporting event up there, so we drove in. And as we drove into town, my kids in the van said, what is that smell? Now, some of you, a lot of you have been to Croswell. Now, those of you listening online, please, this isn't offensive towards you in Croswell. I said, those are sugar beets. They said, how could something so sweet smell so bad? And I said, well, when we lived up here, you probably don't remember it, but I remember every harvest year, the sugar beets, that plant right down the street from us. We lived on Sanborn, and the film and the cloud would come and settle on everything. And there would be this layer of black soot of sugar beets and the smell on our sidewalk, on our car. You'd walk and then come into the house on the carpet, and it'd be, you'd have to clean. It was everywhere. It was smelly. It was dirty. It was cold. It's just that bad. But you know what I remember about being at Croswell and those sugar beets? The first snow. It would snow. And I remember that first year and that snow, that beautiful white snow, would come and cover over everything. And all the darkness and the blackness and all that stuff just disappeared. And it was the most beautiful sight. And I loved it. And I want you to know that in our lives, we have those clouds in our lives. We have those stains in our lives. And sometimes people go, what is that in your life? And I want you to know that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, though our sins be as red as scarlet, He will make them white as snow. I want to tell you this morning, the perfect gift is perfect, but it comes at no charge. When God comes in, He says, I look at all the junk of this world, the brokenness of this world. Don't think that God doesn't understand your circumstance. When you look at your bills this week, when you look at your family this week, when you look at your medical report this week, I want you to know that God looks at it all and says, if you'll allow me, though it is red or as black as it is, I will come in and make it white as snow. Because Mary had a little lamb and his fleece was white as snow. That's what we need to know this morning. And everywhere that Mary went, oh, you bet He did. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. You know what that is? That's a guarantee for life. I got the perfect gift right here, and it's free. And it's guaranteed for life. You ever get those guarantees? I remember buying a TV from some computer TV place in town. And they said, oh, sir, would you like to buy our guarantee with that? I said, how much is the guarantee? $250 for 3 years. How much? Why don't I just go buy a new one in 3 years? I said, you mean you don't guarantee? And I said this. I said, don't you mean you can't guarantee that this product is going to last me for 3 years? And if it breaks, you don't guarantee it? No, I don't think that was in the training video. I said, how can you not guarantee your product that you make people pay for an extra guarantee? I thank God that the perfect gift is free and it comes with a lifetime guarantee. And I stood there and I said, I don't want that guarantee. I don't want that product, because a product is only as good as its creator. And I have a product who says, and everywhere that Mary went, the Lamb was sure to go. And Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I guarantee you. And where did Mary go? Well, I'll tell you where Mary went. She went to the grave of her husband, Joseph, that we never even see when he dies. And that must have been painful. And he says, I will go with you in your pain when you lose someone. Because sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Guaranteed. You may lose your business because somewhere the carpenter was no longer around, and what was Mary doing for money? And she didn't know how to pay the bills maybe here and there. And she was hoping for a miracle. Nice that she had Jesus. Son, we need some money. I don't know how she did that, but she had lost her job. And I thank God for the guarantee for life that says this. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, but store up yourself treasures in heaven. Guaranteed. There are treasures in heaven. There are guarantees over and over again. There's a guarantee for her heart. Her heart was broken. She stood at the foot of her son, who was found guilty for a crime he did not commit, whipped and flogged for something he did not say, and nailed to a piece of wood for something that he did not deserve. And she stood there with her heart broken. And the Bible says, blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted, Mary. Guaranteed. If you mourn, God will comfort you. Guaranteed. There are guarantees over and over. And God gives us a perfect gift that costs us nothing, with guarantees for life. He gives us the guarantee that if you're lonely, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And Mary had lonely, lonely days in her life. And I don't know about you, but I have lonely days in my life. And I need that guarantee that God will never leave me and never forsake me. I don't know about you, but I have pain in my life. And I need to know that God says joy comes in the morning, even though sorrow may last for a night. I've been through some of that sorrow. You've been through some of that sorrow. None of us are exempt from that sorrow. And you think, oh, it's over. Thank you, God. I just received a phone call from my mother 2 days ago that my dad's only other sister that's left alive just found out she's got cancer. And they're going to take her kidney out on Monday, on Christmas Eve day, because they just found it. And they said there's nothing they can do, but they're going to try this. And I just said to my mom, does it ever end? Does it ever end? And my mom, with all the confidence in the world, said, you know, but it's drawn us so close to him. And Peggy actually didn't cry when she told my mom this. She just said, you know, it's okay. Because she knows the perfect gift. And she received that free gift. And she knows that she has a lifetime guarantee in her life. It's guaranteed. And then when you hurt, when you're lonely, and when life doesn't work, it's guaranteed for life. You see, when everything else breaks down, and I'm telling you, you can get a guarantee on your car, it's still going to end up in a garbage heap, probably right out here on 69 down the road. You can get a guarantee on your house, but somebody else will buy it after you're buried and gone. You can get a guarantee on everything you want, but the guarantee is only as good as its creator. And I want you to know something today, that my creator has put a lifetime and an eternal guarantee on the greatest gift that was ever given, and it's free today. It's guaranteed for your life. Jesus Christ is guaranteed for life. No wonder why the angel said to Mary, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, guaranteed for life. And my God will never leave me. My God will never forsake me. And no matter what happens, and if I feel lost in my life and I feel like I'm walking through this darkness, you ever feel that way? I woke up in the middle of the night last night, about 2 o'clock, and I knew that I had the perfect gift. And I'm walking through and I ran in and I hit the armoire and Sue says, are you okay? No. And then I walked around a package that she had sitting down by the settee and I tripped over that and she goes, are you okay? I said, no. The darkness. I hate walking around in the dark. I was kicking and stepping on everything and bumping and bruising. I woke up this morning and I've got the biggest scratch and bruise. And I thought, how did I hit that on my hip? It must have been in there somewhere. And you know what? When we walk around in the darkness, the Bible says that you have a guarantee for life, that those who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. And even if it's still dark, he'll walk through the darkness with you, guaranteed. God has given me a guarantee for my life. And I thank God that he's given me that guarantee. Because in here is the perfect gift and it's free. And it's guaranteed for life. And today I'm going to re-gift it with all of you. Because God has given me this gift and it was free. He's given me the gift of love. And I thought of anything I could ever receive in life. There's nothing greater than love. It's free. And you know what's amazing about it? The more I give it away, the more valuable it is. And it doesn't cost me anything to give love away. I can give love away anytime I want. I love you guys. I really do. I can give love away and it's free. That doesn't cost me anything to love people. And the returns are great. And you can go re-gift it. And nobody's going to get mad. Well, he just got that. In fact, people want it. It didn't take me a whole lot to get this. All I did was say, yes. That's all I did was say yes. When Jesus Christ became a baby, and I thought, why did he choose a baby? Why did God choose a baby? I think it's because babies are so close to God that they still might even remember his glory. And no wonder why children get Christmas. And they can separate fact from fairy tales a whole lot easier than you and I. Love, give it away. Mary had a little lamb who
whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that you and I will go, he's going to be with us. I heard a story about Elijah. In one night, Elijah had a vision. He's the great prophet. This is not found in your Bible. It's actually found in some Jewish traditions. Whether it's true or not, I cannot tell you. But if it's a truth, I can say confidently yes. In one night, Elijah was taken both to heaven and to hell by an angel, according to these Jewish writings. And the great prophet Elijah first was taken to hell. And as he entered in and the angel showed him what hell would be like, he was taken back, speechless. He said, this can't be. Before him, he saw this incredible banquet, this table, this beautiful room. And on this table, this long table, there was foods and the smells. It was incredible. He says, angel, this can't be right. This can't be hell. There's something wrong here. And the angel said, just wait. And as the people were led into that room, he noticed all of them had splints on their arms. As they came and they sat down at the tables, as they reached for the food, they could not eat. They could touch and they could smell, but they could not eat. And they began to scream with wailing for being so hungry and all of the things. And they screamed and Elijah began to weep. And he says, angel, this is the worst place I've ever been. Please take me quickly. Take me from this place. And in that moment, he took him to heaven. And he's standing in heaven and he sees another table laid out exactly like the one before. And he said, angel, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen. And he figured, it's the same, but this time he knew. And the people were called in. As the people came in, he noticed that they too had the splints on their arms. And Elijah the prophet, fell to his knees with his hands, his face in his hands, weeping. Angel, there's no difference. Do you mean to tell me that all of my life has been invested and there's no difference between heaven and hell? I can't believe it. And he began to weep loud. Then in his weeping, he heard laughter and joy. And for the first time, he looked up and he saw the people with the splints. As they reached for the food, they were feeding one another. And it's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between Christmas fairy tale and Christmas as fact. It's what children know. When you take what you have, you'll be frustrated because you cannot ever have enough. And you can never satisfy. But if you give away what you have, you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's what Christmas is all about. Because Mary had a little lamb. Let's pray. Father, this morning, what a message, what a truth. It is my prayer today, God, that we would understand and each of us would be like a little child again. Give us the wonder of Christmas. Give us the innocence of that lamb. Lord, there may be some in here whose hearts just feel that stain. And they just need that snow. They need that cleansing. Jesus, you said to anyone who would call on your name that you would do this. So we ask for that lamb in our lives. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you came, and Christmas is about hope and love. Let your love come into my heart. Be my Savior today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We're going to have a close.